Good morning. It is Thursday, December, what is it? December 13th. It's December 13th.
Thursday the 13th.
I'm a little stressed, Jim.
Are you stressed? Good, good. You'll be ready for our next hour.
Yeah. More about that in a minute, but it is Thursday, December 13th, and I am Jack, and across from me is Jim, and we are here on a Thursday, like usual, to host the KRFY morning show. It is, what, the third to last Thursday of the year?
Why don't we just frame it as Christmas is less than 2 weeks away?
Yeah. Okay. We're definitely closing in on it now. And you are tuned in to a very different looking kind of Thursday than the one we had last week here in Sandpoint. I think last week I rode my bike down and it was pretty green. Like it looked almost like spring or late fall. There was no snow on the ground in town, but
since
a week
then,
will change
we
that.
Have had the white stuff falling.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I have before me the weather forecast for Sandpoint, Idaho, and surrounding areas. Light snow currently with a 32 degrees on the nose, according to the National Weather Service. The high today, 38 degrees, 80% chance of precipitation today. Slight chance of sprinkles and flurries, then partly cloudy tonight with a low down to 28 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, and then a chance of rain, high of 41. So getting a little warmer and a little wetter. Then rain or snow is likely on Friday night, depending on what time it arrives. It is going to be getting down to about 32 degrees tomorrow night. On Saturday, chance again of precipitation is about 40%, high of 37 degrees. Mostly cloudy on Saturday night. Chance again of about 40% of precipitation on Sunday. It looks like it's going to be rain more than snow. High of 39 degrees on Sunday and rain likely on Sunday night. Of course, if you had heard the forecast last week, you would think we weren't going to get very much snow, and we did. So
we did. What I'm sort of curious when you read the weather forecast, is it different up on the mountain? Like if I were a skier, should I be concerned with all this rain? I don't know about that stuff. Do you?
I don't. I mean, of course, it snows at different elevations than, and you know, what we get as rain, oftentimes they get it as snow up on Schweitzer, but I don't know what the cutoff is.
So yeah. So the weather that you read is primarily at this level here in
town.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right. And I do have a winter weather advisory in effect until noon today, which is regarding the snow that we've been getting. Snow is expected, total accumulations of 1 to 3 inches in the valleys, and with the heaviest amounts expected up near the Canadian border. 6 to 12 inches in the mountains.
Go
expected.
Away.
Yeah. This covers Sandpoint, Barnes Ferry, Priest River, Eastport, Schweitzer Mountain Road, Colville, Northport, Deer Park, Chewila, Newport, and Flowery Trail Road. I don't know where that is. It's in effect until noon today and then is over. It's going to be mainly affecting, of course, road conditions more than anything else.
Sure.
The hazardous weather outlook that we get, again, from the National Weather Service. Day one, today and tonight, light to moderate snow continuing over the mountains through midday before dissipating. Days 2 through 7, that's tomorrow through Wednesday, a series of moist Pacific storm systems will bring more periods of moderate to locally heavy mountain snow to the mountains just about every other day, with the best chance on Friday night, Sunday, and again on Tuesday. Relatively mild temperatures will bring a mix of rain and snow to the valleys. Well, there you go. There you
well,
have it.
You know, I mean, I'm all snowed out. And speaking of all snowed out, as I do or try to do every Thursday morning, I have a sister and a brother-in-law in Washington, D.C. area. And with the magic of technology, they say, Alexa, KRFY radio, and bammo, they get Jack and Jim every Thursday morning. And so she sends me the D.C. weather report just to let us know how things are out there. It's 40 degrees now, a cloudy day, a high of 49 expected, and all in cap letters, no snow. so much for, I guess it's a limited snow.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, when, so no snow on the ground either. It's just a great Christmas.
They rarely get. I mean, they get a quarter of an inch and everything just paralyzes. All of a sudden, people don't know how to drive. They don't know how to walk. And it's a mess.
Yeah.
So it's a holiday. I'm just getting stressed out. How about you?
Yeah, it is getting a little stressful. My gift shopping is far from complete. I figured out one thing that I'm going to get. I've got one checkbox on my list, but otherwise
it's... Annie?
I can't tell you that, Jim. Okay. She might be listening.
Annie, turn it off for a second or two. We have a guest today, Brad Hutoff, retired cardiologist, and we're going to be talking about stress in general and stress at this particular time of year. Welcome to KRFY, Brad.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Do you want to give a little bit of background to you before we're talking about stress and give Jack and me a little bit of time to unwind?
Well, medically, I did most of my training in Colorado, then went to upstate New York for internal medicine training, came out here to Spokane and served in the United States Air Force out at Fairchild Air Force Base for 3.5 years before I went back for cardiology training in Pittsburgh. I worked for a year in Tennessee and found out I am not a Southern boy, and went back to Colorado where I had my practice for about 20, 25 years.
What about Tennessee? Humidity?
Well,
that's what I think of with Tennessee. You know,
well, it was humid in the summer, and that was pretty miserable. But it was more just a lot of the culture, very different culture. Some really great things, but also some things I felt very uncomfortable with. And I miss the mountains. Really miss the mountains.
Now, do you get any snow in Tennessee?
I don't recall any snow. While we were there, we had an ice storm one year, and everything was paralyzed for 5 days until the ice melted. It was beautiful, but it was treacherous.
Mm-hmm. There's some album covers that I've seen, like Glenn Campbell's Christmas, and didn't Dolly Parton do a Christmas album in Nashville?
Oh, of course.
They get snow. They have to. Right? How could they sing all these songs if they didn't get some snow?
That's right. I mean, they've got to experience it.
Yeah.
And we have Brad here with us to talk about giving his experience with stress. And let's talk in general about your experience with stress as a cardiologist, learning about it yourself and whatever, before we talk about how the holidays are, you know, Bing Crosby, White Christmas, dinging the bell on the Christmas tree when he sings White Christmas, and peaceful and relaxing and wonderful. And usually we're all like nails on a chalkboard, you know, just. So tell us about your experience with stress.
Well, stress played a huge role in my practice. Not only in the patients I saw, I would estimate that 80 to 90% of the people that I saw either had stress as a cause of why they were seeing me or an exacerbating factor. So that if, say, they had skipped heartbeats and funny heartbeats called palpitations, they would feel stressed out by that. And when you have stress, when you interpret stress, because much of stress depends on how we look at it ourselves, what may be stressful for you may not be stressful for me. A lot of it's just perspective. But if they felt that, oh my God, something's wrong with my heart, that would cause a release of hormones within the body, including epinephrine and adrenaline. That then goes to the heart and makes it pump harder and actually skip more. And so it would be worsening the problem. And as the problem worsened, then they'd get more and more anxious, and it just fed that cycle. And so a lot of this is just perspective. For example, early in my training, when we had a patient come in with a heart attack and they called the team that I was on to take care of them, it would be very stressful because I wasn't confident. I was still learning in how to take care of these people. They'd be very sick and potentially dying. And we would have to take them from the emergency room to the cath lab, put catheters into them, find the artery that was closed, and try to open it. And at the time, it was incredibly stressful, causing me to have cold sweats, chest discomfort myself sometimes, and just really difficult.
Wait, was your reaction typical of other people studying this part of your medical?
You know, I imagine it was, but we didn't talk about it.
Ah.
And that's actually a good coping mechanism for a stressful situation is to have a support group where you can talk with people about what you're feeling. Because oftentimes we think we're alone in that we're feeling some sort of stressful situation when everyone else is feeling the exact same thing.
But so you didn't have anyone to speak to at that time, or did you speak to your fellow internists?
No, we didn't have that kind of relationship. In cardiology training, you were supposed to man up and just deal with whatever came. And if that meant 3 o'clock in the morning, you were called in to deal with something, it was supposed to be a sign of your ability and your manliness just to handle it and not complain and not feel anything, when in fact, inside, you may be terrified.
So how did you learn how to take that stressful environment? Because obviously that wasn't your only time that you're dealing with people with heart conditions. So how did you take this negative stress over time and have it work for you?
Well, a lot of it was getting used to what I was dealing with, developing the technical and mental skills that I needed, gaining the experience of this type of heart attack can have this type of complication. With this type of complication, here's what I do. And doing that enough and finding success in it, over time, heart attacks became an opportunity for me to help somebody rather than a terrifying experience where I might do something wrong. And a lot of that was just experience. In retrospect, I would have done things differently by trying to develop a support group, especially going to my mentors that I was training under and talking with them and expressing my fears, expressing my doubts. And I think by talking in that way, I would have gained more support and more rapidly developed the ability to see this as a good stress rather than a bad stress.
So is that? Do you have other recommendations for, I mean, most of the people we're listening to aren't cardiologists. Is that high on your list of, you know, find somebody who you can talk to about your stress if you're feeling like it?
Yes, because I think oftentimes with any kind of stress, whether that be job-related stress, financial stress, time pressure stress, we feel alone and isolated in that we don't have the personal and individual abilities to cope with it, when in fact we're not alone, that there's many other people feeling the same thing and many other people around us who are willing to support us and say, you know, it isn't that bad, you can do this, what can I do to help? But if we isolate ourselves and never talk about it, then we continue to feel alone, and that can actually make the perception of stress worse. Once you open up and develop a support group where you can go in and talk with people who are supportive, then you don't feel alone. And it seems to spread out that level of stress over more people and make it more manageable.
So you would suggest finding people in a similar situation to you? Or do you mean, I mean, is your best support group like your friends and family, or is it maybe coworkers or people in a similar...
It could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Your family could be the source of stress.
Right. That's right. Kind of what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, dear, I'm having trouble with my wife.
Exactly.
And you don't want to tell that to your wife, probably.
So finding people in that, in a similar rut as you are.
I was going to ask about kinds of stress. There's emotional stress. Mm-hmm. There's physical stress. Dealing with, sometimes you're dealing on stress with many levels, mm-hmm. rather than, because sometimes stress may take itself out in your physical, well, like on your heart.
Right, right. Stress manifests oftentimes physically, or what we call somatic, the psychosomatic connection, where what's happening in your brain has a direct effect over your health. Because what happens in your brain gets translated into chemicals and hormones and neurotransmitters that work on organs within the brain as well as your adrenal glands, releasing other hormones like cortisol and epinephrine, which then have a direct effect on other organs like the heart, like the immune system. Negative stress has been clearly shown to suppress the function of the immune system so that people are at an increased risk of infections as well as cancer. Now, oftentimes, this kind of stress, though, is chronic stress, something that you're dealing with all the time, day after day. And oftentimes, we don't realize that we're under chronic stress. We have learned in our culture to suppress it, to ignore it, to not feel things. And so we end up having this volcano of things inside, but it's so pressed down that we're not really aware of it. It's that type of stress that leads to those hormonal changes, which can then directly affect your health. But that kind of stress can come from many different factors. Anything that you perceive as a threat, and that perception could be at work, that maybe you don't get along with your boss or your coworkers. Driving in today, everyone's going real slow, but if there's some guy decides to go real fast, that person is perceived as a threat because if he starts spinning, he's going to take out a lot of people with him. Just the ice and snow can be perceived as a threat, or it can be perceived as something beautiful and great. I get to drive in more slowly today and enjoy the views.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I know that you drove in from Coburn Culver, that the roads and the weather being what it is, you were more alert, attentive. Is that good stress?
It can be, and that's part of what those hormones do for you is they increase your alertness, increase your ability to react to situations. It's the fight or flight response, and that comes back from hundreds and hundreds of years ago when we were living in the wild, and that sound in the woods might be a bear coming to eat you, and so you had to be ready to either run like heck or to fight for your life. And so those hormones increase your blood pressure, increase your heart rate, increase your alertness. They actually increase the body's ability to make a blood clot in your blood so that if you do get bitten by a bear, you're less likely to lose blood. However, that then makes it more likely you're going to have a heart attack. And the frequency of heart attacks tends to peak on Monday mornings. So people have had a weekend of relaxing, and then when they're stressed up and going back to work, the blood tends to get a little bit more likely to form a blood clot, and they have more heart attacks.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So speaking of, that kind of timing, you don't see stressed out patients until they're very serious as a cardiologist, but did you see more in the wintertime? Was there a particular time of year where you would catch more heart attacks, heart issues?
That's a little hard in my perspective. Where I practiced, I was the only cardiologist in town, and so I was called a lot. And so I guess in retrospect, it was like, man, I just got called all the time. And over time, that became pretty stressful.
Sure.
Although heart attacks tend to occur early in the morning, when we would see people in the emergency room varied quite a bit. Like in the holiday season, you wouldn't see them early in the morning because, say, on Christmas Day or Thanksgiving Day, no one wanted to spoil the day for the rest of the family. So they would sit at home with their symptoms, blaming it on indigestion, blaming it on I just shoveled and I pulled a muscle, or other things. And when it didn't go away, they'd come in hours, maybe days later, and we'd find they had been or were continuing to have a heart attack. So other factors would affect when they would present to the emergency room.
Boy, you know, that's interesting. You know, Brad mentioned time of the week, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, time of the year, do we ever talk about stress in summer? You know, like, or springtime stress. Oh, those tulips and those hyacinths, they're just puncturing the earth right now. And oh, the earth is hurting.
Not since I was in school, you know, going into
different
test season.
That's different.
and hopefully, you know, teenagers aren't really at a high risk for heart attacks. So
are they? Yeah. Are when do heart attacks become? Well, you're right. I don't ever hear about teenagers. Do they have heart attacks, Brad?
What's
at a teenager would be incredibly rare, and that would be associated with either a congenital abnormality of the blood clotting system or of their arteries. In men, heart attacks start to see in unusually in the late 40s, but then in the 50s and 60s. And in women, it tends to be about 10 years later. And one of the factors of that is the estrogen that they've had is protective, but also lifestyle. Traditionally, women have had less stress than men, being homemakers and caretakers. Not that that's not stressful, but a little bit different than men. I think as women now are more often in the workforce and actually having to still be homemakers and have a job, I think we're going to see that shift, and I think we'll start to see women having heart trouble earlier in age.
Interesting.
I think that time of year probably varies depending on profession. Like for farmers, nursery owners, they probably have a lot more stress in the spring when they have a crunch of their business going on, people in school. And like this time of year, this stress is markedly increased probably for retailers and then delivery people like FedEx or UPS, because their workload has all of a sudden mushroomed and they have a lot more.
So there's all sorts of variables that that come into play with stress. We're talking with Brad Hutov, retired cardiologist, about stress, and we've been talking in general terms. We're going to take a music break, and then we're going to come back and talk about holiday stress. And I don't think of a better song to play as our little musical break than Queen and David Bowie, Under Pressure. Click. Click. Under Pressure, David Bowie and Queen from 1981. That appeared on Queen's 1982 Hot Space. And this was the second number one song for Queen, the first being Bohemian Rhapsody in 1975 over in England.
Was it not on a Bowie album ever?
No, it wasn't on a Bowie album, and he never performed it live. My understanding is as long as Freddie Mercury was alive, and then he integrated it into his concerts, I think, as a partial tribute to Freddie Mercury.
Ah, well, interesting. Interesting backstory on that, too.
Yeah, I love the song.
Yeah,
Are you stressed?
I'm getting less stressed. Well, okay, I'm consciously trying to de-stress here after what we're hearing. Although I'm only in my 30s, so I'm not quite yet at high risk for heart attack. Is it? I am a younger person, but is this stress that I have right now bad for my health on a long-term basis? I'm not really that stressed out, but a person who has a lot of stress in their 30s, does that translate to heart problems later on in life?
Not necessarily. It depends upon how they handle it, what they do to compensate for it, and where their future is headed. This kind of stress is good stress because it's not associated with fear. It's not associated with a bad outcome. But if over time you get more and more of this kind of stress and you start to feel negative about it, you start to have fear and anxiety about it, it can translate into a negative type of stress, which then increases your risk for medical problems down the road.
I was going down my checklist, as we said earlier. We were talking about my
holiday checklist.
My holiday checklist, and I've crossed off exactly one thing, and it's not even all the way crossed off yet. It hasn't arrived in the mail, but that brought us to a good point about making a list, checking it twice. That's one of the kind of the tips or tricks that you sent over as a way to deal with your stress around the holidays.
Yeah, I think holidays are a special circumstance, and we tend to associate stress more with holidays because our checklists of what we have to do get longer and longer. The gift giving, the decorating, the house cleaning, the partying,
the baking,
the activities at work, not only increase workload, but then you have to go to the holiday party. What happens if I don't go? Will my boss not like that? And so these expectations get higher and higher. So I think it's really important as a start for stress is, one, acknowledge what you're feeling, what you're going under. See that, and oftentimes making a list. Now, if I have times when I'm stressed out, I often wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning with my mind racing. If I sit there in bed and try to just work through it, it doesn't work for me. But if I get up and write it down and make a list, I can get back to bed and get back to sleep. So I think at this time of years, making a list of all the different obligations that you have or would like to accomplish, but then going through that list and prioritizing, simplifying, and saying, I need first to take care of myself and take time for myself and do those things that help keep me feeling good. Because if I do all this stuff and I feel yucky, if I don't feel good about me or what I'm doing, then why am I doing them? But to do those things that make you feel good about yourself as a priority. And that may mean things lower on the list get crossed off. Not that those things are unimportant, and say it is the work party, to be able to call your boss and say, you know, boss, I really would like to go to the party, but these things with my family are really important. My Aunt Mabel's coming in. I haven't seen her. And would it be okay with you if I miss this year's party? So that you're still expressing a concern and expressing to that person that, hey, this is important and you're important to me. Is it okay if I take this time for myself, though? And usually people are going to be honored by the fact that you're being honest with them and be willing to say, that's fine, you know, take care of yourself. And if they don't, sometimes you may have to disappoint people. And so being able to say no is really important.
I know that, like what you're talking about, it seems like to converge at the holidays. And I know some businesses here in town have their holiday party on June 25th.
I actually mentioned this to a friend that I was going to be on the radio talking about holiday stress, and she says, I have a great way of dealing with that. I don't celebrate the holidays.
Well, you know, that cuts several ways.
True.
one of the things that I oftentimes forget that I need to realize is that there are 12 days of Christmas. So if your holiday cards don't get out before Christmas, you've got the 12 days of Christmas. I mean, it's a celebration that... now, of course, if you're mailing them at the same time you're mailing your Valentine's Day cards, you know, that maybe you need to prioritize that list.
And also simplify that, because what's most special about the holidays? When we look back into our past, what do we remember most about our holidays? It's not the gifts. I remember hardly anything of what I got as a kid. It was doing things with my family. It was going out and getting a Christmas tree. It was making cookies. There's some negative memories in there, like having to decorate the tree while my mom's Christmas record played the same three songs over and over and over again. But on the other hand, those are the memories that I have. And so the important thing about Christmas now is that we love each other. And so we should prioritize those things that express that love and not necessarily just something on the checklist that's an obligation. Over time, no one's going to remember that. Yeah. And what they're going to remember is that you expressed your care and your concern for them as an individual. And so whether that's before Christmas or a few days after, or maybe with your family, you say, let's not do anything for Christmas this year. Let's delay it for a week and then do a special vacation or ski trip or whatever. The advantage of that, too, is you can hit the sales after Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. I can remember, this is probably in pre-Jack days, but when I was a kid growing up, do you know what the most stressful thing for me about Christmas was? Getting the tinsel on the Christmas tree just right, because it was metallic, not plastic. Plastic just slid off. But hanging it one by one, by one. And there were four kids in our family, and each one of us had a part of the Christmas tree. and mine had to be perfect, you know, and there was such tension and pressure. And then there came a point where you can only take it off so long and the metallic tinsel would clump together and you just throw that up high because you couldn't see it. But
throw it on one of your brother's areas.
Exactly. Do you remember metallic?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a thing of the past, but you learn to live with it, I guess, and deal with it. I mean, I didn't have to worry about the turkey in the oven. There's other things that I didn't have to worry about, but I can remember for me the tinsel around the bubble lights.
You know, and this gets back to the perspective of what's stressful, because I remember those feelings. We had to decorate the tree just right for my mother because she had all these expectations of what Christmas had to be like because of how she grew up. And so the tree would be just right, but then the cat would end up climbing the tree and tipping the whole thing over. And it's like, what's really, I mean, is that tree going to last? And no. And so what's more important is enjoying that experience and focusing on loving each other and doing this in a way that puts that as a priority and not some other thing that isn't all that important.
Yeah, you said it there, Brad. Is there, just going down kind of the list, I mean, you've kind of encapsulated the whole thing broadly of how to deal with stress and how to celebrate the holidays in a less stressful way. Are there any kind of specific things that people should be doing beyond, you know, prioritizing a general prioritizing of the things in your life?
Yeah, I think there are some other ways to help deal with that stress. One is to make sure you don't overdo your schedule, that you continue to get plenty of rest. If you're staying up late, getting up early, that's not going to be helpful. Another thing is to watch your diet. At this time of year, if alcohol consumption starts to get higher, that can have a negative effect in the long run, as well as in a short run, negatively affecting your ability to cope with stress, cope with your family members. Also, watch your sugar intake. This time of year, there's lots of fudge and cookies.
Everywhere.
Yeah, fudge, as well as fat. And if you eat a lot of fat all at one time, it actually has a negative effect on your blood vessels to expand and dilate and improve blood flow to an organ that needs it. And that affects your brain function. And so it can actually have a negative effect on your brain's ability to handle stress or be able to function properly if you go to a party and drink lots of eggnog and have lots of sugar. So one tip from an article that Jim gave me on some suggestions of stress was that before you go to a party, have some healthy snacks at home. Eat some carrots. Have a salad. Fill up with something healthy.
And drink water.
Drink water. So you're not going to the party hungry and thirsty, and all they have are sugar drinks or fatty stuff to eat.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat the healthy stuff ahead of time, then you can go and have a little bit as a treat and not have too much that'll have negative effects on you. I think another thing that's really helpful, and this is something I really like about being in the mountains and in North Idaho, is you can get outside and go for a walk, get out in the snow. If it's a clear night, the stars this time of year are absolutely gorgeous. And just to go out and sit for a few minutes and look up into the sky and not necessarily think anything, but just that experience of looking into infinity is really incredible and I think very helpful to help put things into perspective. Getting some physical exercise can also be good, and that can be a family activity or something to do with friends. Such that you go for a hike, go snowshoeing, go skiing, go cross-country skiing, things like that.
And also there's that element of not buying into what we are supposedly told what the holidays should be like 13 days left to Christmas, you know, that you, the pressure, you see the madness right after Thanksgiving, and you go, why? In terms of not buying into the necessity of making the holidays such a madcap, rushed sort of experience.
Right. There's that cultural expectation that you have to do these certain things, but that expectation is generated by people who want to get your money. They don't are concerned
about your health, your stress levels,
your family, right? And you have to make that priority to say, "Whoa, my family's more important than buying this great big thing that's going to stress me financially." And actually, that's another thing: is don't overextend financially anymore. The expectation for electronic gifts is getting higher and higher. I have to have the newest iPad or the newest iPhone each year. Financially, that's not sustainable. And I wouldn't go into debt because of the holidays. I think a lot of people do. And you may have to change the focus of your family away from gifts and away from electronics to activities and expressions of caring and concern. That's what they're going to remember in the long run anyway.
So, Jack, one thing checked off on your list. What's the rest of your stress list?
Well, I'm removing things now from my stress list. I did make a little note on I did make a physical note to myself to eat something before the party on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good just wise.
Yeah. I was there. I'm going to a work party. That's not my work party. It's my girlfriend's work party. On Saturday, that's been a little bit of a stressor in my life lately. Thinking about that, I don't know the people that well, and you know, but yes, I will eat a salad and drink lots of water before I go, and just go and try and enjoy myself.
I think there's another element of stress on the holidays that we haven't addressed, and that's people who are on the other side of the spectrum of activities where they're alone. They may be depressed. They don't have family. They don't have people to connect with. And that this time of year can bring up feelings of loneliness, grief, loss, or even people who do have families and have lost someone very special. And in their remembering of this time of year, they are really missing someone that would have been there in years past. And so I think it's very important for those people to have coping mechanisms. Again, starting with acknowledging your feelings, not suppressing them, not saying they're bad, but just say, I feel sad, or I regret not having done this before. Let that feeling come up, but then don't make a whole story out of it. Don't make the whole holiday out of it. Feel it and let it pass. But then four times of loneliness, other things to do is getting outside, just doing something can be helpful, or volunteering, getting involved with activities around the community. I was just at the library and read that they need math tutors, and so I'm going to call them and say, well, what kind of math do you need? The new math may be very different than something that I could help with, but it would be really fun to get involved with the life of a young person who need some help on something and be a positive role model and help them achieve some things. So things like that, and whether it's young people or volunteering at the senior center and working with older people, lots of different opportunities. And to be able to then just get out there will help your own depression and help your own sense of isolation.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, you know, that not everyone has a Norman Rockwell holiday, and that they're for some people, the holidays are not a happy time for them, and which can result in a different kind of stress. You know, a really negative internal. I'm alone dealing with this, and I think what you're saying, some of the suggestions of volunteering, engaging with the larger community around you, might help you deal with that. That. Experience that feeling and then let it go.
Yeah, that negative, depressed kind of stress is a huge factor on your health. One of the biggest risk factors of an older person dying is if their spouse dies. And that then becomes a risk factor for them to have failing health and to die. And I could see that in my mother when she lost my father, that her health deteriorated for 3 or 4 years before she finally stabilized and pulled back out of that. And so that loss can be very difficult to deal with. One coping mechanism for that sort of thing, or just as you're getting older, is to get a pet. A pet can extend your life for 10 years. Now, if you want your life to be that much longer, then get one. But But just having a furry critter or some sort of critter that loves you and thinks that you are the best thing in the world is really good for your health.
Well, one thing for me is that I don't have a lifestyle that is pet. You know, plants are enough for me to keep alive. But I have bird feeders in the backyard. And, you know, when I'm doing Christmas cards, I get up, I'll get a cup of coffee, look out the back window, and there's a flicker. There's a chickadee. There's a woodpecker. We have a woodpecker on our suet. You know, and I could just stand there, and I find before I know it, 20 minutes have passed. And so, you know, it's that kind of, you know, not necessarily a furry pet that you have indoors, but, you know, my only responsibility is just throwing feed out in the backyard. And
but there you're giving something. You're putting that energy out there.
Oh, but it's coming back to me, though, as well.
Exactly,
it's
right.
It's beautiful.
Yes, yeah.
Just absolutely great. We're here with Brad Utah, with retired cardiologist and holiday stress, and we're going to be winding down shortly. But is there a heart month? Is there, like, June is National Heart Month? Is there, is like February should be National? Because I want you back again to talk about your heart and what good things you can do with your heart and why your heart is important.
Well, there is, but I don't remember what it is.
We can Google it and find out. Jack is the master of that. But we'd love to have you come back and talk more about how to be good to ourselves and be good to our heart.
That'd be great. There's one of the things I missed in my practice is I was so busy taking care of people with pacemakers or heart attacks or whatever that I couldn't do as much prevention as I wanted. Mm. And prevention is really the way to stay healthy. You don't want to wait until you need to run to the emergency room. And there's lots of things you can do preventative-wise for your heart health, and that will then also affect the rest of your health.
Mm. Well, Brad, any last holiday tips or tricks? What are you going to do? What's left on your list to do? Are you all decorated and shopped out and everything?
Well, it's an ongoing process. I have lots of wood making projects that I'm working on, and my focus this year is on giving those away as gifts. And for me, that's generating a lot of good feelings, so that rather than it being about what I can get, it's what I can give. And I'm hoping that there's lots more snow up at Schweitzer. When I lived in Colorado, I lived near Ouray, which is one of the ice climbing capitals of the world. And my Christmas tradition was to go ice climbing on Christmas Day. And we don't have much ice around here. There's a center over in Montana that does, but that's quite a ways away. So I'm hoping to start a tradition of going skiing on Christmas.
Well, I'm sorry we don't have more ice here for you. I think there might be some, yeah.
I don't think many people feel that way.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
You might be in a minority. I did look it up on my iPhone, and February.
It is February.
It is.
Can we
book an arrangement for you to come back in February to talk about heart?
You bet. I'll be around.
Absolutely. We want to wish you a stressless, I like that word, stressless, holiday season, and thanks so much for coming in and sharing your expertise.
Thanks for having me. It's been great to talk.
We've got a song we're going to segue out with before we go into community events, and we'll say goodbye to Brad. Paul Thorne, a musician whom I rather like, has a neat song called Too Blessed to Be Stressed here on 88.5 KRFY. That was Paul Thorne, Too Blessed to Be Stressed, here on 88.5 KRFY. That is goes along with our theme that we've been working with today about holiday stress. And we want to thank Brad for coming in again and sharing his wisdom. And he's going to be coming back in February. February is National Heart Month, and we're going to get him back in here to talk about heart health, good things for your heart, bad things for your heart, and why you want to keep your heart your friend.
Yeah. I wish he wasn't retired. I wish he was my doctor, Jim.
He's doing wonderful
things. He would have been good, yeah.
Absolutely. Let's get into calendar community events, and I only have one thing for tonight, the 13th of December, Grateful Dead Jam Night. Idaho Poor Authority at 203 Cedar Street hosts a Grateful Dead jam night from 5:30 to 7:30. 2 hours. That's not enough. That doesn't even get you through the first set of the Dead.
No.
contact Scott Taylor for more information at 618-843-2567. That's at Idaho Poor Authority tonight. Grateful Dead jam night.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right up your alley too, Jim.
Deadheads never die.
Mm-hmm. We have, going on tomorrow and through the weekend, Toys for Tots registration. Sandpoint Lions Club accepting applications from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays for Toys for Tots at 609 South Ella. That's right by the big yellow caboose over there in Lakeview Park. If you need some help getting Christmas toys for your children ages 1 through 12, stop by and apply. Children between 13 and 18 will receive a gift certificate. The Lions also provide food boxes to families so they can enjoy a nice Christmas dinner. 208-263-4118 to leave a message for the Lions, and you'll receive a call back, or visit sandpointlions.com.
Perfect, perfect. Tomorrow night, Friday the 14th, Beth Pederson and Bruce Bishop CD release concert. Two of our favorites here at the radio station, especially you, Jack, doing the local music scene. This is at DeLuna's tomorrow night, 207 Cedar Street. There's going to be a CD release concert at 7:30 p.m. featuring Bruce and Beth. You can buy tickets in advance or on the day of the concert. The doors open at 5:30 with dinner served before the concert. You can call DeLuna's at 208-263-0846 for tickets and reservations. So like in a lot of concerts past there, you can do dinner and concert or just concert. But I'd suggest that you call DeLuna's 208-263-0846 for more information, because I have a feeling that this is going to be a major. So that's Bruce Bishop and Beth Pederson CD release concert tomorrow night.
I've listened to most of it. Sorry, it's at DeLuna's. On you there.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. You stepped on DeLuna's.
I've listened to most of it.
And?
I like it. I like it very much. It's very good.
I love the combination of the two of them.
I know.
They work so well.
And I don't think that they ever got together as a combo until a few years ago. I mean, they've both been performing music for a long time, but only been working together for... The first one came out.
They found each other, and we here in North Idaho are happy they did. Way to go, Beth and Bruce.
Going on, the 14th through the 16th, it's the Carousel of Smiles, ponies and paintings on parade.
That's three P's in a row. Paintings on parade and ponies.
The first group of ponies that are back in paint after 64 years in hibernation, and the first group of art panel paintings done by talented local artists will be on display at Carousel of Smiles 3-day reception at 113 Main Street. Everyone is invited to view the work of dedicated volunteers. Hours are 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, December 14th. That's tomorrow. Featuring a champagne reception. Donations are welcome. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, December 15th. And 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday, December 16th. Celebrate the first color and life coming back to Sandpoint's Carousel. The location for the reception is 113 Main. It's a historic building, originally home to the Sandpoint Interurban Railway. Building is just completing a fabulous 2-year renovation that recognizes its historic roots. TheCarouselOfSmiles.org is the website for more information about that.
And tomorrow night, Toys for Tots Betty Spaghetti Dinner. Hoot Owl Cafe on Highway 200 in Ponderay hosts the Toys for Tots Spaghetti Dinner from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's sponsored by the Sandpoint Lions Club. And you can never go wrong with spaghetti.
No.
And there are just so many good activities going on at this time of the year. Go to Sandpoint Online, because we're only just touching the surface.
We are. Yeah, that's right. We're just about done. I mean, we're just about out of time here, but...
I've got so much stress.
I know.
I'm not going to get to all of them. I do want to mention that tomorrow... not tomorrow, but on the 15th, the Jazzy Nutcracker. The Studio One Dance Academy performs the Jazzy Nutcracker at 6 p.m. in the Panada Theater at 300 North First Avenue. Tickets for the local dance holidays performance are available at the door and at Studio One Dance Academy and at panada.org. The Jazzy Nutcracker, the Dance Academy, performs on the 15th. That is Saturday.
Mm-hmm. It's also Learn to Cross Country Ski on Saturday up at Schweitzer's Roundabout. But that's it. We are out of time, Jim.
Jack, it's been good. Next week, we're going to have on with us on the Thursday, Mandy Evans from the Animal Shelter, going to be talking about the dog walk and other good things happening there. Want to remind you, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, the 3 o'clock rush with Ryan Baumgartner, our Sandpoint High School local programmer that we're so happy to have with us.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY. The Christmas music is getting into the mix now,
by the way. It's that time of year. Mm-hmm.